morning. Please be seated. Welcome to all of you to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Sandra Henderson, and I'm the duty elder for this morning. If there are any visitors, we'd be delighted for you to sign the book at the front of the church to let us know your names. The memos in the brochure are all for your attention, and I just have one other little note that I need to make known to the congregation. This week is the 5th anniversary of Reverend Bruce being our minister. And last week was the 4th anniversary for Renata. So as you can see, we're in very good hands. And now Reverend McCanch has an announcement.
Thank you, Sandra. I just wanted to point out that you can see by our bulletin and also by all the paraphernalia we have here today that our VBS is beginning tomorrow. And we have Kintail on the road, and so they will be helping us with our camp through the week, and we've got all our registrations done and ready to go. And we'll be doing our worship services first thing in the morning up here in the sanctuary with all the gear, and then moving downstairs to take part in the various activities and themes and Bible stories that they have for the children. Plus, we've got some special events planned. You may have seen in the email newsletter that I sent out this week, we're having the Burlington Fire Department is going to come by one day this week and show us how the fire trucks work and give us a bit of a presentation. And also, the Halton Police will be coming in as well to talk about safety and show us a police car. And I'm sure they'll get all the lights on at some point for the kids to be able to see, have that thrill. So we're really looking forward to a very fun-filled and busy week. And we ask that... first of all, thank you for all the contributions that we've been receiving for the different crafts and whatnot. There's some more things listed on the back if there's anything else that you might want to add. I think we've got enough just about craft-wise. And I do ask that, during this week you pray for our VBS and for the children who will be here. About half are from our own congregation and the other half are from the community at large. And so for some kids, this may be the first time that they've been in church and had a church encounter. And I know from my own personal story, which I've shared before in the past, that VBS is what began me on my journey with the Lord. So we never know what this program can do for so many of our kids. So keep them in prayer. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship this morning. We light the Christ candle this morning as a symbol of Christ's presence in our worship, and Christ gives us the courage in the night times as the songs we sung before in the nighttime of our fear guides us and leads us in the right direction. Now our call to worship.
Our call for worship is in your bulletin. The heavens declare the righteousness of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting. We will now join in our first hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 434.
Thank you.
seated. God's love gives us courage to do the things that we need to do, gives us the strength of faith and the courage to always see the light that is the right way to go. We come before God in our prayers of adoration and confession, followed with the Lord's Prayer, our adoration to thank God for the light that He provides for us, to confess to the Lord those times when we have walked away from that courage that He provides us through Christ, and follow with the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that teaches us in so many ways to depend on God for giving us courage, faith, and love. Let's bow our heads in prayer now. God of promise, Your Creator of all that is, above and below, and in the middle, You are the first light breaking through the void. You are the final light when we keep in eternal joy. Keep our hearts ever strong and courageous and faithful as we wait to welcome You, that You will find us, Lord, clothed in Your love, dressed for action, and eager to receive You, and courageous to last to the days. Lord, You do call us to do good. You do call us to seek justice, and You do call us to care for others who are in need. And yet there's very often times when we place our own comforts above the compassion and needs of others. There are times, Lord, when we do not do good, and by good we mean following Your path. There are many times, Lord, when we do not seek justice in a situation, and that may be something just as small as resolving a small matter between two people, or something as great as something doing what we can between countries or peoples in general. Help us, Lord, to always be seeking Your way, to always be looking for Your light, to be always seeking out Your love and the faith that You give us as a gift and the courage that we can see in our faith. Lord, we ask that You will forgive us, cleanse us, and help us to repent, to turn away from the things that cause us to fall away from You. And we ask this in Christ's name. Lord, we come before You now and we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the prayer that gives us the courage and the faith that we need in life, saying the following: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God is merciful and kind. Though our sins may be like scarlet, they become like snow. Be at peace, for our sins are forgiven and washed clean by the goodness and the love of God. Amen. Now, I've set up the screen this morning because I wanted to show you some of what we're doing this week coming. And by beginning that process, I want to show you some of the things that we did last year. Last year, after our VBS time, we put a slideshow together. And I've got that to show you this morning, and to just give you some idea of the various activities that the children participated in and the fun that they had, and you'll get to see the leaders that were involved as well. And we can see that this year's theme is the ultimate canoe trip, which is why all this is set up, and courage in the community. And we're talking about the courage that God gives us. The idea of the ultimate canoe trip is every morning when we begin our opening worship time together, there's going to be a couple of characters apparently that are trying to work their way across the country in a canoe, and the kids have to help them make that journey together. So that's where those two things are tied together. But let's look at last year's bit of slides.
I'm
So there you go. You have an idea of some of the things that we did last year. We're looking forward to many more that we can do again this year. And I like the kids were responding quite well to seeing their pictures. You remember some songs from last year, right? And it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Yeah, so we're looking forward to that this year. We wanted to give you an idea of some of the things that we will be doing, and that this is really a good program for all of the children who have in our congregation and those from our community as well. So, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes we get to the sermon and whatnot. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, "This is My Father's World." We'll sing verses 1 and 2, and then we'll have the children come forward. And you guys can maybe sit in the chairs when you come up today. And during the second verse, you can do that. 432. Or 328, pardon me. 328, I can't even read my own printing. How about we all sit here on the floor in front of me here? Let's try that. Everybody can gather together a little better. That's great. There's lots of room then for everybody to sit. Good. Now, every week we have our butterfly box, and if I could just squeeze by here and not crush anybody in the process, I'm going to get our butterfly box and see what we have in here for our story this morning. Let's see what we've got. Ready? Ready? Did I knock something down? Oh, any idea what this is? It's a plug. It's got plugs on it. It's got three plugs on it. Wow, sharp, eh? And it's got a charger. Well, in fact, if I reach just past you guys, one second, and I grab this extension cord, I can plug this in and we'll see what all happens. See, plug it in there as if you plugged it in your wall, okay? And we'll put it there for a moment. And in here, I have my phone, because you were right when you said we can use this to plug our phone in right down here, see? Yeah, there you see. Now my phone's charging now. Yeah, well, we just put that on the wall. Then you have three plugs. Yeah, my phone's charging. See, the little electric light will come on, and there it is. It's all ready to go. But you know what else this thing, there's a place to put my phone too. Look at that, I can even stand my phone on there while it charges. But you know what's really nice about this for me personally? Because I get nervous in the dark. Yeah, I do. It's a light too, see? See everybody, I don't know if you all see that. There's a night light on this thing. It makes me feel better at nighttime. Because you know why I get nervous in the dark? Because I trip on things. Sometimes when I have to get up in bed, after I've gone to bed and I have to get up in the middle of the night, I'm not thinking too clearly and I can't see too well. And we have cats and dogs at our house, and we have all kinds of my clutter around, if you know what I mean, by my books and things. And I forget where everything is. So when I'm walking around in the dark and I can't see, I get nervous because I'm going to stub my toe or I'm going to hit my shin on something or even fall down, which I've done a couple of times. So it's always good to have a night light on so I can see where I'm going. You got something to say, Sheila? What?
I wish my house was just
stepped on your cat's paw? It was right in front of you. Oh, did he make a big noise? Did he go, meow? He went round and ran away, did he? Yeah, well, to see a little light like this would have been nice. Jesus tells us in the story that we're going to read today, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because Jesus is a light for us. Not a light like this in a way, but a guide for us on how we should be living. Because sometimes we're not sure what to do or what we should be saying or not saying or how we should be treating other people. We're not sure sometimes what that should be. And we can pray and ask Jesus to help us to be that light, to make the right choices and to be doing the right thing with other people. And we can talk to other Christian people and we can also read about it in Scripture. So we have a nightlight, sort of, on how to live our lives, and that's the Bible and prayer that helps us to do that. And that's what this reminds me of when I see this light. Can we, let's say a prayer together, everybody. Bow our heads. You don't? Well, I do. So let's bow our heads and we'll say together, all right? You repeat after me. Here we go. We're going to pray. Everybody get their heads folded? Not yet. All right, let's bow our heads. You repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are light and you show us the way in the dark. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. You can go back and sit in your seats, and there's a nursery for those that need to be in the nursery this morning, but otherwise you're welcome to sit back with in the pews. And we'll sing the last verse of our hymn together seated. As we prepare to hear God's word read this morning, let's take a moment to bow our heads in prayer and ask for the Spirit's illumination. God of hope, by faith, we know that you created the world. We know that this is your world, just as we've sung about, and that is what is seen by many things that are not necessarily always visible. So we ask, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to your presence among us, that we can hear your word with clarity and with a sureness of hope, and we can follow you in all righteousness. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning in the Psalters in your pews is Psalm 50, and we're reading verses 1 to 8 and then 22 and 23. Psalm 50 is the first in the Psalter to bear the attribution a psalm of Asaph. This attribution refers to Asaph, who's a chief musician during the time of King David, and so it's a bit came out certainly in David's time. Asaph would have been one of the people in charge of the music. We can think of it in modern times. Think of it as we've got a praise band or something at our church, and they've put together a song for us specifically to come before God and worship. But this particular psalm is also talking, and we'll see this as we get into Isaiah, about the various things that God has done for us, and we need to remember those. And when we read in Isaiah later, we'll find out that people did forget what God has done. And so it comes, as much as it's a praise song and saying the many wonderful things that God has done, it is also a bit almost like a trial case, and a lawyer is presenting all the things God's done, but you've forgotten these things. You need to return to them. Psalm 50, verses 1 to 8, 22 and 23.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. God calls to the heavens above and to the earth that the people may be judged. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. And now at verse 22, mark this then, you who forgot God, lest I tear you apart and there be no one to deliver.
Thank you, Sandra. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 1, beginning at verse 1, and then jumping down to verse 10. And it's page 630 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Keeping in mind, again, our psalm directly connects to this story in Isaiah. Isaiah is beginning the book and talking about exactly what is going to be happening to the Jewish people, to Israel. They're going to be taken off into captivity and spend 40 years just about in this captivity period. And Psalm says this, and Isaiah says it many times, you've done all the right things, but you've done them for the wrong reasons. You've forgotten who your God truly is. Stop going through the mechanism. Stop just doing things by repetition and rote. Let's turn your hearts back towards God. And as Isaiah reads through the entire book, and we read that, the people were not only just not doing things sincerely, they stopped doing them altogether. And then God's punishment came upon them until they returned to their ways. Isaiah 1, chapter 1, beginning verse 1 and then jumping down to 10. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. I'll pause just for a moment to remind you that there's still two kingdoms, Judah in the Israel in the north, and Isaiah speaking specifically to Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, selected verses again, and that's on page 225 in your pew Bibles, New Testament part, Hebrews chapter 11. This has been often described as the sort of enthusiastic and warm praise on the topic of faith. And it goes through, Hebrews 11 goes through all the different people in the Old Testament in particular who live by faith. And that their faith is what saved them. Their faith is what made a difference in their life. And in this particular one, we're talking specifically about Abraham and how his faith made a difference, not only to him, but to all of his descendants, including all of us, grafted into the family of God. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Jump down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable as grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 32, and that's page 75 in your pew Bibles. This is, as I mentioned to the children, this is Jesus giving us that promise to not be afraid, because there is very much ahead for us, and that we need to be prepared. And in one of those ways, the idea of a lantern, which we have here often on Sunday mornings, a lantern that is set out so people can see where to be going and that they are ready for action. And that lantern is mentioned in Jesus' story here, beginning Luke 12, beginning at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good fortune, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him, 528. A different tune this morning, okay. Same words, different tune. Thank you. psychology professor at the University of Miami knew his students expected a terrifyingly long final exam. And to play with their minds a little bit, and one professor wouldn't want to do that, I suppose, he put one question on the final exam. And he watched the reactions of the students as they opened the exams and saw the one question. Initially, they all looked relieved, but as the difficulty of the question really began to sink in, those relieved faces sagged to confusion and consternation. All, that is, except for one student. He read the question, tapped his pencil into his palm a few times, and then jotted something down on the test paper. And he walked up to the professor and handed him the final and just walked out. The professor blinked in surprise, and then he looked at what the student wrote and smiled, and the professor wrote 100% on top of the student's test. The question, what is courage? The student's answer, this is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know what's hidden in our hearts, and you know our thoughts and our motives. You know when we are weak and when we're feeling discouraged. And so, Lord, we pray to you this morning that you can be with us on this beautiful day, and we ask you to give us courage and strength and confidence to face trials and temptations that sometimes lie ahead of us in our life. And we do give our lives to you to take control and guide us along the way, the songs that we've been singing this morning. There's times when we always don't have the strength to do this, and so we ask that you'll restore our strength in our message this morning and in our time together. Let the fire that burns within us touch the lives of others and manifest your love and grace to all. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This brief article I want to read to you is taken from The National. It was in the paper 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago now, I guess. And it says, less than a year ago, Yersa Mardini had to swim for her life. The overloaded dinghy taking her and 22 other Syrian refugees to Greece started to sink, so Yersa and her sister, Sarah, and another woman jumped into the freezing Aegean Sea, and for more than 3 hours they kept the boat afloat and hauled it through the water until they reached land. Their action saved 19 other lives as well as their own. Now Yersa faces another important test of her swimming ability, but at stake this time is an Olympic medal. The 18-year-old Syrian is competing in the 100-meter butterfly and 100-meter freestyle at the Rio Olympic Games as a member of the first-ever team of refugee athletes. She was chosen to carry the Olympic flag, the banner under which the 10-strong refugee team is competing. At the opening ceremony, an honor, she says, filled her with pride, happiness, and butterflies in her stomach. Back home in Damascus, Yersa was a talented swimmer and professionally backed by the Syrian Olympic Committee. Yet only 11 months ago, Yersa wondered if the sport she loved so much would be the death of her. In 2012, she represented her country in the FINA World Swimming Championships in the 200-meter individual medley, and the 200-meter freestyle, and the 400-meter freestyle events. But as the conflict raged on in Syria, Yersa often found herself training in swimming pools where the roofs had been blown open by bombings. And sometimes it was too dangerous to train at all. When their home was destroyed, Yersa and Sarah left Damascus and headed for Lebanon and then Turkey. From there, they boarded a dinghy along with 20 others, three times as many people as the craft was designed to carry. Before you got on the boat, people tell you that you're going to die, said Sarah. So the first thing you think about when you get on the boat is death. You don't think of anything else. Sarah, also a swimmer, said she told Yersa that if the boat capsized during the journey, they should just try to save themselves, so it would be impossible to help everyone. Just 30 minutes after setting off from Turkey, the engine of the boat began to fail, and the dinghy began to deflate. Sarah, Yersa, and a third woman were the only ones aboard that could swim. They knew they could not let the others down. We needed to have less weight on the boat, and nobody else besides us could swim, Sarah had recalled. When I first got into the water, my whole body was shaking like it does just before a competition. At that very moment, I felt that life was bigger than me alone. All the people on the boat were part of me. I felt it was my duty to jump into the water. If I left them, I would feel bad about myself for the rest of my life. Yersa said, when I was in the water, there was fear. You don't know whether you're going to live or die. I had one hand with the rope attached to the boat as I moved my legs and my other arm. After 3.5 hours in cold water, your body is almost like done. I don't know if I can describe it. One of the men on the boat, a friend of their father, cut off the girls' trouser legs so they would not be weighed down by clothing. After 2 hours of pushing and pulling the dinghy, the sisters were exhausted, but they could not risk falling asleep and drowning. It was getting dark and cold. The wind was blowing and I was freezing. My eyes were full of salt water and I could not open them anymore, said Sarah. They finally made landfall on the Greek island of Lesbos in the middle of the night. After Greece, the sisters traveled through Macedonia, Serbia, Hungary, and Austria to Germany, and they now live in Berlin. Yusra says she now hates open water, but the memory of that epic swim across the Aegean does not haunt her. I remember that without swimming, I would not be alive. It was really hard for everyone, and I don't blame anyone if they cried, but it's a positive memory for me. She hopes her story will inspire others. When I was swimming for my life, I would never have believed I would be where I am now. She says she has 3 wishes. I wish for borders to be open for refugees. I hope to win an Olympic medal. And I wish for my hometown to be at peace again. Truly a story of courage. This theme that we have for this week's VBS. Courage in our community. Courage in our situations that we find ourselves. The dictionary defines courage in 2 ways. One, the ability to do something that frightens one, or the strength in the face of pain or grief. And the word itself comes from the Latin word cur, which means heart. So courage has all to do with our heart, and not necessarily our physical heart, but that heart that seems to drive us, our spirit. And courage is something that comes from deep within us, and I think that's really the point there. Hebrews 11 says this about Abraham: by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. And that's one of the things that's referenced about Abraham in particular, that he needed great courage, is talked about in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was old, and he now has a son, and that son is Isaac, and it's his only son at this point. God tells him, I want you to sacrifice your son as an offering. So Abraham, as we read through chapter 22, just does it. He takes Isaac and some of his helpers, and he starts to head up to the mountain where the place of sacrifice is. He has his son carry the wood. And when they get near the top, Abraham says to all the young men with them, stay here with the donkey, the boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham didn't doubt at all. It didn't come easy to Abraham. He needed courage because not only was he killing his only son, something that was not permitted, but he was also killing at that point what seemed to be the beginning of this new inheritance that God had promised him. How are my children going to outnumber the stars? How are my children going to outnumber the grains of sand on the beach when I just got rid of the only hope for that? And yet he moves forward. He builds the fire. He gets everything ready. And he grabs Isaac, essentially. It doesn't give us much detail because it's the Old Testament writing. It says that he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Not something very easily done, I suppose, for this older man. Then it just continues. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife out to kill his son. And if we turn this into Hollywood terms, he's got him on the pile, he pulls the knife, and he goes and doesn't even hesitate, begins to drive it forward. And what it says is, but the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham stopped. Here I am. Do not lay your hand on that boy or do anything to him, for now I know you fear. And that, remember, I've told you before that word fear is love in that sense. It's a complicated word to define, and the English doesn't cover it. But fear, love, God, you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The angel stopped him in that very instant because his courage and his faith were so strong. And it continues to tell us in Hebrews 11 how much courage Abraham had, how much faith Abraham had. Abraham's faith was truly Abraham's courage. He took that only son up there to be sacrificed. He had faith in God's promise and a faith that gave him the courage to do what God had asked him, even though it didn't seem to make a lot of sense at that particular moment. trying to draw a line for us here that courage and faith are directly connected, if not, in some ways, the very same thing. That they inspire the same thing. Doctors, nurses, EMS attendants, firefighters, police, and military people, often we hear them talking about having courage because they have faith in particular in their abilities that they've been trained in, but also that their co-workers that they stand with have their backs. That faith in their team gives them courage in their hard times. And it's easy to see in those particular instances where there's courage coming from the people that back you up, so to speak. It's a good example that their faith, the ability to go out and do things, as we read in that definition at the top, the ability to do something that frightens one, or strength in the face of pain or grief. We can see in these particular occupations that quite easily. When a firefighter has to rush into a burning building to rescue someone, they know they can do that. And if any of you know firefighters, and I do as well personally, they know they can do that because of the training that they've had, some of the equipment that they have, but they know that there's people right behind them coming with them. And it gives them the courage they need. They have faith that they're going to be backed up and they can rush forward. But, you know, it's easy to see in those particular occupations. But courage is really, as it comes, it's a matter of the heart, and the root word itself tells us that. Courage is cur, the heart, where our heart is. And we heard that in Scripture this morning. Faith is truly a matter of the heart. Courage doesn't always make sense to the mind. Faith can be very much the same. It inspires, it encourages, and encourage itself bolsters the heart, is what that means. It encourages, it bolsters our heart and our strength. Courage doesn't only need to be in the big things, in the things that we tend to put up on that pedestal in so many ways. And certainly, and I've shared this so many times, you know, growing up with police officers in my house, everything else paled. That's what we grew up as. You know, these guys are out there doing what they're doing, and people are, I can remember reading stories now as I've grown up of some of the things that my dad had gone through and how many times he got his nose broken, for instance, because people being abusive in certain situations that he was in. I never heard much about that, but I read about it afterwards. It's little things like that that we don't hear about police officers sustaining injuries, breaking up fights, police officers trying to help someone and they break a finger because of that. And, you know, I've broken a finger. It's pretty painful. We've read just recently in Hamilton where some of the nurses have been attacked by patients in places and they want to beef up security for them. They need help as well. Courage can be seen easily in these particular situations, but courage is getting the strength to do something that we're afraid of. And if we stop for a moment, we can think of some things that maybe we are afraid of. Speaking up maybe when you're very nervous, standing in front of a crowd of people might be something that you're very afraid of. So the ability to get up and do that requires courage, requires faith in the training that you've had, the ability that you've done a few times, and also faith in the crowd in front of you. And I often, when somebody's going to do something in front of others, because I've been doing it for years, and I tell somebody, you know what to think? It's a friendly crowd. Because in church, generally, you're not going to get a heckler. Not that we've, you know, generally we don't get a heckler during the service. If I'm helping someone at a wedding or I'm helping some people at a funeral, I tell them the same thing. It's not too often you get a heckler at one of those situations. It can happen, but it's generally a friendly crowd. Doing something small sometimes can take a great amount of courage. Courage isn't always about life or death, physical situations. Courage can be saying or doing something that, like I said, frightens that person. Now, I think of a particular situation a couple of years ago. Donna's cousin John was out visiting us from Vancouver, and he's never been up in the CN Tower. And I've been up there a few times, and so I said, well, let's go to the CN Tower. And if you've been to the CN Tower, you know when you get up on the very top, they've got the glass floor. I would not say it's courageous at all, but I seem to have no fear of heights, never have. And I think I might have mentioned one time my parents and I were down in Niagara Falls many years ago when I was probably that tall. My dad was terrified of heights, absolutely. My police officer dad was terrified of heights. And we were going up in the tower down there, Niagara Skyline or whatever it's called, with the glass elevator, and my dad was facing this way. Me, the little kid over here, proudly yell to an elevator full of people, "My dad's afraid of height!" So he turned around and he looked at me. I still see that look. So he could face outside, and he was not happy at all. John and I went up to the CN Tower, and we go over the glass thing, and I'm doing, you know, this, and I'm jumping, and I'm running out and waving and coming back. "Come on, John, let's go." I didn't know at this point John had a fear of heights. "Come on, let's go out on the glass floor." So I have pictures of him. I did get them. I've got a picture of him doing this and this. And he did this about a half a dozen times. And then finally he said, "Get the camera ready." And I did. And he's right at the edge of where the glass starts. He went, "Take a picture!" He was courageous. For me, not so much. But for John, that was a big thing to do. Because I told him, "John, go out there, don't look down. Just go out and do it." Well, of course, you say don't look down immediately. Everybody looks down. So when he had put his foot out there, I could just see the blood kind of drain. And that's why he said, "Take the picture quick." John was courageous. And that's kind of a silly, funny story, I guess, suppose. But it still took courage for John to do that. We all have situations in our lives where we need courage to do something. And that courage comes as this, our theme for this week with the VBS, courage in our community. There's times when you want to finally say something to that neighbor. You finally want to say good morning. Often it's difficult to say that to your neighbors that live next door to you. Maybe you want to go grab the newspaper and take it up for them so they don't have to come all the way down. And it takes a lot of courage sometimes to do that because we are who we are and we live the way we do. Maybe it's something else for you that's something as simple as that, but it's holding you back a bit of fear. Christ is telling us not to be afraid, to always be prepared, to always look for that light, and to always be able to step out of our boundaries and our boxes and remember that God loves us. And I think that the message that comes out through that psalm and through Isaiah in particular, the people of God in those days had forgotten their courage, had forgotten their faith. And God wants us to always remember that. And certainly the story that's the account of great faith through all of Hebrews 11, one person after another person after another person has talked about their faith and the courage that they had in their particular situation that came from God. Their encouragement was God's love in their life, and it drove their faith and helped them to move to the next level in their life. And we are here because of their faith, as Hebrews 11 is telling us. We are here because of the great courage and faith that Christ himself had to face the cross, to face death for us, and give us that eternal life that we need. Courage is needed to face physical issues, health issues often too, and it's something that's very important in our congregation right now because many of us are facing various health issues. And we have to have courage to do that because the waiting, the not knowing, the treatment plans, the doctors who talk in these big words all the time, it gets confusing. Having to tell friends and family time and time and time again about an ailment we may have, and the isolation that often can be driven out because of health issues. These all take great courage to be able to move forward. It takes faith in God to move forward in these situations. It takes that courage that God gives us in Christ. So be encouraged this morning. And be an encouragement to the kids this week as you pray for them and you see these little lives, you know, coming around as first-time experiences in many cases, coming to God. And in our lives, that's that God's courage and faith encourage us in all that we have to face. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, the struggles and difficulties of life seem to be often swirling all around us and like a misty fog in a blackness of night. And at times we're not sure which way to turn. We don't seem to have the courage or the faith that we need. Father, at times we can feel like giving up sometimes, walking away, and we know that in life giving up is really not an option. Give us the courage and the faith, Lord, to face the future with you and to trust you, to walk with us every step of the way. For we know the Bible tells us you are with us every moment of every day. Give us the courage and the faith to take our eyes off the difficulties that sometimes occur in our lives and to unreservedly anchor our faith in you. And Lord, from this day forward, as we step out into an unknown future, may we have the courage and the faith to put our hand in your hand And Lord, we do pray for all these children that are coming this week, that they too can have the courage and the faith to put their little hands in your hand and to not be afraid and to know that you are with them and to know that you love them and that the people here in this congregation love them deeply. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for these times, and we thank you for this message of courage that you have for us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus said in that scripture in Luke, sell all your possessions, give alms. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us honor God with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and come into God's court with praise and present our offerings to him this morning. This our offering to your glory, to your praise, to your work in our community. Provide the courage and the faith that is needed from the people who are delivering this and the people who are receiving this in the form of help. And Lord, we pray that you will accept this, our sacrifice to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We have lots of folks in our congregation that need prayer for various things. We know that Isabel Pullen is still home recovering and making progress, but it's very slow, and Janet Davies the same for the various things that they've had. I got an update on Wynn Sims. He's still in Peterborough. He had a stroke, basically, as I mentioned last Sunday, but he had a heart attack a few days before that took place, and they didn't know. He just felt tired is what it is. So sometimes that can happen, I know, with heart attacks and whatnot. But it's affected his legs a little bit. So Gene said, he's up, he's walking a little bit with, help and going through therapy. They're just waiting for a bed to be available here in Burlington, and then they can move him back. So she's been going back and forth a couple of times with her kids driving her. But he is making progress, and prayers are very much appreciated. He knew that we were praying for him last week, and it seemed to really encourage the two of them. And some of you, as I mentioned in the newsletter, I just sent it to Session, that's right. Bill Simpson, Shirley Simpson's husband, is still in palliative care. Some of you might remember Bill and Shirley from, Pineland days. And Bill is basically towards the end stages of his life as he's in palliative care. He's been at Burl Oak care place all week, and I was in to see them yesterday again, and he's just hanging in there as best he can. Family's been around him all week, and it's encouraging that they're spent the time with them. They're very good spirits all in all. But Bill's been quite ill for some time, as some of you know, and certainly since last November, he's been pretty much full-time in hospital, and he's coming towards last stages now. So we want to keep them in prayer, that Bill can be comfortable and that the family can be at ease in the grief that's ahead for them. And I know that there are others in our congregation, about half a dozen or so people, who are dealing with all kinds of different words of things that have been happening, and we are aware of that, and we do pray for them as well. So we also want to be praying for our VBS leaders and the children this coming week, and that this can be something special for them and really reviving in their hearts for God. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, this is a wonderful opportunity that you give us from week to week to come before you with, as we've titled it here, always prayers of the people. And it's prayers for the people. It's prayers about the people. There's so many different ways that we could describe this. And it's not just the immediate people here, but it's a bigger circle as well. There's lots going on. Certainly we know that all the conflict and struggles and all the stuff that's been back and forth about the Olympics in Rio. We pray for safety for all of the people that are participating and visiting down there, and that things can go well, and that there's no health issues or any other kind of threats to life and that sort of thing. But closer to home, Lord, we also pray for the folks that come here on Mondays in particular, for Food for Life, the people that come here looking for help to get food on their table. And it's, again, hard to imagine that in this beautiful city of Burlington that there are people who are literally going from day to day, not even paycheck to paycheck, but day to day trying to put food on the table for their children and their families. So we pray, Lord, that we can be that real hands and faces of God for them in that sense by providing some food for them, and that it's as meager as it is that it can really be saving lives in so many ways. Lord, we do pray for those in our congregation that are not well and those that are dealing with grief or will be dealing with grief soon, and Lord, those who are recovering from different ailments that have put a few folks in hospital and surgery and that sort of thing. But also, Lord, we pray for those half dozen or so that are dealing with different types of news that they've received in the last little while about illnesses and treatment plans. And as I said in the sermon, Lord, we really come before you to give us the courage that we need when it seems like we don't know what's happening. And that's always the biggest struggle, Lord, is when we don't know what's next. So help us, Lord, to trust you, to give us that courage that we need, to just look at you and your light, that things will be okay, that not knowing can just not be a part of who we are at the moment, the worry and the concerns and the fear that comes with that. And Lord, we especially also pray for our VBS leaders, the folks that are coming from Kintail, three leaders we have there, and the many volunteer leaders that we have from our congregation, that you can, again, help them to be the hands of God in these children's life, and that the children can have a great experience. But not just the children, Lord. Also, we pray that the leaders can have an experience with you as well. When we see the eyes and the smiles and the responses that these children give, and we certainly saw that in our video, be with the leaders, Lord. And really, Lord, we are praying for the children that come here this week. Keep them safe. Help them to truly have an encounter with you, that this is the beginning of a relationship with you for many of them, Lord. And we never know what's going to happen in the future. And so, Lord, in these children's lives, there's great futures ahead. And it's a very positive thing in their relationship with you. And that bless them in this time, and that this can be a very beginning of a new journey for some of them. Lord, we pray all of this knowing that you're already praying ahead of us. You're already giving us those words and thoughts. And we pray it all in Christ's name. And we, amen. Join together now in our final hymn, hymn number 626. We'll sing just verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. Lord of all power. God calls us to go with Him, walk with Him, be with Him, and always ready for the call that He has in our lives to have the courage and the faith to move forward. So be dressed for action and ready to serve, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Be not afraid, for it is God's good pleasure to give all of us the kingdom, an unfailing treasure, an eternal blessing. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day until Christ comes to make all things well. Amen. Thank you.